Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council study session for Monday, January 10th, 2011. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Higgins, who will not be here for the study session, but will be calling in for, I believe, for the regular council meeting. The first item on our agenda is to review the agenda items for tonight's meeting. Okay, items 2A through 5. Oh, that wrong one. Excuse me. There we go. Items 3A through 3D. Items 4A through 4D. Items 4E through 4G. 4H through 5E. 5F through 7A. Vice Mayor.
I need to pull from the consent 5G because of probable conflict, so that just needs to be pulled.
Okay.
And I will not participate in discussion or voting on
that.
We'll
pull 5G from the consent agenda and vote on it separately due to a potential declaration of potential conflict from the Vice Mayor.
Thanks, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Okay. And item 7B. Okay. The next item is item 2A, hear presentation, discuss, make recommendations on fiscal year 2011-2012 Community Development Block Grant, better known as CDBG, Home Investment Partnership and Emergency Shelter Grant Program, recommendations that are coming from our Community and Neighborhood Services Committee. Mr. Villa.
Mayor and Council, we're here this afternoon to bring forward seeking direction from the Council regarding the funding allocations for the Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnership Program, and the Emergency Shelter Grant Program for the 2011-2012 budget year. This year was kind of a unique situation because we got a lot of input from a lot of different groups. One of the big ones was a housing advisory board that took time to rate all three programs. They took two nights to do that, and they spent a great deal of time doing that. And also the Economic Development Advisory Board prioritized the CDBG economic development proposals, which were also included in that process. And then finally, after those recommendations, the Community and Neighborhood Services Committee met three times, and they discussed the proposals in depth and were able to come up with what they felt were the funding allocations for this coming fiscal year. Before we get started, I just want to thank all those committees because they really took a lot of time out of their schedules to really work on this program and really put a lot of effort in making the decisions that they did, both the Housing Advisory Board, the Economic Development Advisory Board, and the Community and Neighborhood Services Committee. So with that, we appreciate it because I think we learned a lot from the process, and I think it's something that we're going to take with us next year. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Carolyn, who's going to go through the presentation.
Good afternoon. On slide 3 of your presentation is our timeline that we're hoping to adhere to, and we have been thus far. The next slide begins the funding recommendations, and I'm not sure how you exactly want to go through those. I can go through, we've gone through and highlighted the differences between the Housing Advisory Board and the Community Neighborhood and Services Committee recommendations. We can either go to the ones that are different or however you'd like to do that.
Well, I'd actually like to, we have a committee that's at least three of us, although one of them isn't here, that have gone through these. I guess the question is, are there items that any other council members specifically would like to ask questions on? Councilmember Summers. Or maybe we should go back and, before we do that, Councilmember Richens, is there anything you want to address or not? Just go forward with this.
No, I wanted to echo particularly Ray's comments about the time that some of our citizen advisory boards and staff spent on these. Not only was there a lot of time reviewing the applications in a very large tree-killing binder, But there was also a significant amount of training that had to take place for people to understand. And I just wanted to really praise the great work that those citizens' boards, from the context that they were sitting at, they really did a great job in trying to be fair and consider all the projects and how they fit in with our council strategic initiatives, which I thought was a good frame to do so. But other than that, I mean, the committee felt pretty comfortable with the majority of the recommendations. There were split votes on a few of them, but what you have before you is what the committee forwarded as.
Well, before we get going, and Scott, I'll get back to you, but there are some, as I noticed as I'm going through here, there are items where the committee, in many cases, made some fairly significant changes, even to the extent of raising amounts that were recommended. If you could just give us a brief overview as to thought process that the committee had in coming up with that, and you can use specifics or not use whatever you'd like to do. If either you or Dennis would like to give us a sort of report as to what your thought process was.
Sure. Dennis and I will kind of tag team on this here. Most of them, it's confusing because you have an agency request, you have a line for Housing Advisory Board recommendation, and you have a line for the Community Neighborhood Services Committee. And the Housing Advisory Board, trying to be fair, lowered by, I don't know what the methodology was particularly, but they didn't always award funding fully to a project. So, for example, just under your timeline slide four, this one here that we're looking at, you'll see that the agent, go back to the one you were just on, page four. You'll see the agency request matches with the community and neighborhood services. So we tried to make an effort to fully fund a request and not, decrease it. Working in nonprofit world, I saw a lot of times, you build your project budget, and all of a sudden, if you put a 20% hole in that project budget, the project doesn't happen. In some of the other instances, we are trying to be strategic with other initiatives that we know we anticipate coming to the city, and trying to build capacity in neighborhood organizations to meet some of those strategic opportunities as they come. If you have something in particular that you have a question about.
No, not right now.
Some of them were timing due to, like, for example, not funding the economic development projects such as Main Street tenant improvements and the downtown Mesa. Those in particular, we felt from a timing standpoint, it would probably be better time to put those into the future a couple of years and concentrate on existing business preservation rather than new business attraction at this point. In addition, particularly the 225 East Main project, I'm not sure that CDBG is the right funding source for that particular project because of the job attraction requirements. We would put any employer going into that building in a significant box to try to have a certain percentage of people coming from low and moderate income. You have all the Davis-Bacon requirements for rehabbing the building if you're using federal funds, and it adds costs that might really tip that market in a bad way. So I just don't think that it's really necessarily the right funding source to do that. So that's why we focused on making sure that organizations like NEDCO, West Mesa City, CDC, and the City of Mesa's Economic Development Department liaison were there to give a significant support to existing businesses who are going to be going through light rail construction as our economic development focus.
Okay. Councilman Summers, do you have your questions answered?
Yeah, I just have concern over particularly 5155, 225 as well, focusing on bringing businesses into the downtown area is extremely important, and the building being right off the art center has a lot of potential for to have a synergistic effect with what's going on there, but it needs tenant improvements. My fear is that the building needs these improvements, and if we're going to wait for something like light rail to come through, we're waiting 4 years before a project like that would happen, and that's an awful long time to wait. I would prefer to see at least some money invested in this building in the short term so that we can start to look forward toward new users.
Dave, was your concern more timing, or was it because I'm Or the CDBG and the strings that are attached to that?
Because it's the strings that are attached. I don't think that it really provides the great opportunity to I mean,
you so it's not the concept that this needs to be done. It's just that if you put $5 into it, have you tainted the? Have you? I mean,
I don't know what if there's a threshold.
How do they? Well, how's the threshold?
I don't think it's $5.
It's any amount. It's
well,
any
I know
amount.
That.
It's any amount of federal funds.
However, what becomes programmatic for us when we look at economic development projects such as that one is, if we were to go ahead and fund the $500,000 and go ahead and rehab the building, we could do that, and we can the city can pay for that. However, the city cannot draw that money down from HUD until all those jobs have been created to go in those buildings, which in the 500,000 case is about 15 jobs. So if no business went in there for such a time, we couldn't, the city would be holding the bag on that.
And the 500,000, just to make it clear, does not get us to a rehab building. It just gets us up to a certain
to do
point.
It just set aside some money actually for a tenant improvement. And if you want my unvarnished opinion here, I mean, I'd like your
varnished opinion.
We better
polish it up, please.
We better spend this money using that to bulldoze that building and creating a development site that somebody can build a decent project from scratch.
That's a problematic building.
Than using that building there. I mean, it has no architectural quality, in my opinion. It doesn't necessarily have to be there to tie to that to the tower next door. And, you know, if it's going to be a restaurant, they have such specific needs for a restaurant trying to make that building fit. I don't know that it gets us anywhere. But I would suggest that we use a different funding source than CDBG for this kind of project.
It doesn't have the strings attached to
it. Yeah,
if doesn't,
you want to do a TI for that, yeah, use a funding source that doesn't have a lot of strings attached.
And that's why I'm asking. That was more the driving. And Dennis is, right. For the record, Dennis is nodding in agreement.
I thought it was.
I'm assuming you are.
Not yet.
No, he is not.
Okay. What funding source did you have?
Was that an unvarnished nod?
Well,
it's a varnished nod.
It's a real estate project, so you know I don't know if that's something that we want to look at enterprise funds for real estate projects. If that's a way we want to go, I just don't know. But
is it a viable source, enterprise funds?
Well, that's a different discussion, I think.
Yeah, that's a whole
we're
that
here.
We're not agendized for. So.
Yeah, and I don't even if we were, I don't think we're ready to talk about it. So. But I understand what you're saying. What you're feeling is the timing wasn't right, but also, even if the timing, you have real questions as to whether allocating these types of funds, which are federal monies, and all the strings that come with federal monies, and we talk a lot about, and this council for a long time has talked about, avoiding the kind of entrapment, which is almost what it is, that you come when you apply federal funds for projects that we either can't complete or we don't have the end in sight. We don't want to live with those. And there are some unintended consequences here that could actually work against us in the long run. If I restated it,
yeah,
probably
fair.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that we're ready to speculate with federal funds on it.
Okay, that was the big questions I had. Okay, other questions? Okay. I guess you don't have to go through the whole list.
Awkward.
Okay.
Well, not awkward. It's just that just so you know, the purpose of the process that we went through this time was to avoid a detailed discussion at this meeting in this level. Because you spend extra time at the committee level, at all levels, to really vet out and sort out these the details on these things. And I think we got a good report from them. There's a couple of things that I've been briefed on before the meeting and certain changes. So the fact we had no other questions either says we're all asleep or the process worked.
Okay.
I'd like to believe the process worked.
Just a quick comment that I can't say that it was a perfect process. We're going to want to get together and debrief and find out what changes need to be made for next year, particularly, you know, putting the advisory boards through 8-hour meetings. If they're willing to do that, thank you. Thank you so much. But I think, you know, having applicants who work hours and hours on these applications then get 5 minutes to present them doesn't necessarily give us all the information we need either. So we need to kind of look at those
well, and I think the thing that I enjoy is the fact that we're not set. This is not a good forum for having the kind of detailed discussions that you could have in those specific committee meetings. It's just not a good one. It is a good, great forum for bringing up general questions or specific questions like we have here, and I think that was a good explanation that you guys have gone through and studied and looked at and and basically did a much better job than I think we can in this forum. So
we were able to go through every project, and in some cases where an applicant applied for a one pot of money called home, we found, and there was not enough sufficient funds to fund that project within that pot, we were able to shift them into CDBG and still get the project done. And so I thought it was a really good, I got to give big kudos to staff for the recommendations, particularly Carolyn Olson for her suggestions during the course of that, and understanding the federal rules enough to be able to make those things fit.
Okay. I'd just like to make one comment as it relates to CDBG. This is the one pot of money that we actually get from the federal government. And I know I get feedback from a lot of people that thinks that there's this gigantic stream of money that comes from the federal down to the cities, and that just doesn't exist anymore and hasn't existed for quite a number of years. And I think if you look at the types of projects we put this money into, it's really the one thing that goes, that is probably the most efficient use of money that we have. Because we use this the timing to go over these applications, but once it gets into the hand of our agencies and staff, it goes for a very specific purpose in a very short amount of time and has the shortest route, I think, of return of money from Washington to actual use in the city. And I think that people don't, because of the change in Washington over the last few years, they don't realize that this really is about the only money that comes from the federal government to the city, other than a grant here and a grant there. You know, that being said, I think nationwide there's about $4 billion that are set aside in the federal budget for CDBG nationwide, and our share is, what, $3.7 million, give or take some, for CDBG. There's already talk that this money will be reduced in a budget. Budget. $4 billion, significantly. I think even the administration proposal is for a 25%, $1 billion reduction. And just to let everyone know that, number one, that's a pretty small pot when you look at the overall federal budget. Number two, it is something our agencies and everyone needs to be aware that there's a good chance, especially with a Republican majority in the House, that this will be cut. And it will be cut significantly, and it will then be cut proportionally. So we could be looking at a significant reduction this year, which would be unfortunate, because this is, I believe, one of the really good programs that actually is an efficient use of our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to say our debt dollars, it's still our dollars one way or another. So I think everyone needs to be aware of that. And in my committee work on U.S. Conference of Mayors, this is something that all cities are obviously very concerned about, and we're working diligently to try and have discussions with both the House and the White House, because I'm not sure that those in Washington fully even comprehend exactly how much good these monies do and how they're utilized. The process that we go through and the fact that it's like mainlining money. There's not a whole lot of dancing around or sucking up of overhead or anything. It goes straight into the community. So that's my editorial comment for the day. Okay?
To clarify, I just want to make sure that we understand that we're moving forward with the Community and Neighborhood Services Committee's recommendation for the funding.
I think that's what I hear.
Okay.
Okay.
And so go through the next process. What happens?
We go through a public hearing process, which is part of the timeline, if you want to put the timeline back up there. And we'll be coming back with our annual plan to the council on March 7th for approval, once we get the final public hearings done, and at that time the council will vote on the recommendations.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So moved.
Next item on the agenda is approval of. Hold on, I need to read the names.
Audit and Finance.
Thank you. I love this electronic world until I don't have it in front of me. I know that. I mean the names of the...
the people?
Yeah.
Now you can pick. Wait, what do you want? Oh, you're on. Wait.
Yeah, give me the backup. I apologize for the delay. Just hold on one quick second.
I'm still getting used to this.
Yeah. John
Donaldson.
That's it.
Sorry. I was on a different item, too. Gosh, darn it.
I got it now. Okay. Thank you. Now that we've gone through all our menus. The two recommendations we have, which were to fill vacancies in both the Board of Adjustment, and I've recommended Danette Harris, and who's a manager with the Boeing Company, and for the Economic Development Advisory Board, Mr. Dan Olson, who's a director with Alliant Tech Systems in Mesa. So have a motion to approve by Councilmember Summers, a second from the Vice Mayor. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Acknowledge minutes of receipt of minutes of various board and committee. I have a motion from Councilmember Fenter, second from the Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Friday and Saturday, I attended the winter board meetings for National League of Cities in Washington, D.C., and on Friday, the board did have a chance actually to meet at the White House with a number of administration officials talking specifically about the National League of Cities priorities, which included maintenance of CDBG funds, transportation issues, jobs, and immigration issues, and the president still has not, staff has not finalized the recommendations on CDBG, but again, the inference from the administration officials was that there probably would be some reduction in it, although those who are working on their intergovernmental affairs staff were trying hard to prevent that because they said this is a program with a proven track record of investment in the communities with decisions made by local officials and local input. So we're hopeful that there won't be a 25% reduction because that would be $1 billion reduction in the program, but we had some very positive discussions on priorities for the National League of Cities, and again, the NLC board also looks forward to having its annual meeting here in November. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. Pardon my absence last month. I was attending a lot of these meetings by phone. I was in Washington, D.C., attending several meetings. One, I was appointed by Secretary LaHood, U.S. Transportation Secretary, to the National EMS, or Emergency Medical Services Advisory Council. I'm going to be careful on the EMS and NEMSAC, that kind of thing, because you'll gig me. They deal with emergency medical services issues on a national level, funding being one of them, but also training on paramedics. Much of what that council recommends, if enacted by the U.S. Department of Transportation, does have a direct fiscal impact on cities, because how they mandate training for paramedics certainly could have an impact on how much that costs for us. So I had the opportunity, and I do have the continuing opportunity, to participate in that. While I was there, I was also over at the Homeland Security Policy Institute, which is part of the George Washington University, had some conversations. They're very interested in, ironically enough, given what's happened recently in domestic terrorism. They deal a lot with, they're experts on terrorist activities, so I was having a conversation with them from a city council member and first responder perspective, which is unique. Closer to home, on Saturday, I participated in the second annual Run, Walk, and Roll benefit for disabled sports. I ran a 10K, and I am living proof that I survived it. So actually it was nice, although Tempe Town Lake tends to undulate around the lake, although I'm fairly certain the entire race was uphill. So I've asked for a recount, but I finished in good health. So it was a great event. It's going to have a lot of benefit for Mesa residents, particularly our disabled athletes. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Anything else? Last Friday, I had the opportunity of attending two events, which were very, 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 very enlightening and just wonderfully uplifting. First of all, let me see, we heard that from David Stockman in the State of the State that I think our national economy is going to collapse sometime within the next 10 years. And then we heard at the Chamber of Commerce that our local economy has already collapsed. So other than that, we had a great day. You know,
hang it up. We're done.
Just some, you know, there's some huge issues out there at both the state and national level, and it gives us pause to reflect on what we do here in the city. And I think in many ways we need to be careful because as people came up and talked to us about how we've handled our budget situation here in Mason, it has not been enjoyable. It has not been easy, but I applaud our staff for, and the workers, our city staff, for making it as efficient of a management process as we could possibly hope for. What that does, though, is it in many ways it gives us a false sense, not of security, but a fact that we've been maintaining a certain level of operations and of service, that everything's okay. And I think that as we've seen, our level of service is not what it was, and will continue to not be at that level. So any more hiccups, and you know, there's going to be an adjustment. That's our reality. That's what we have to deal with. And we need to be on the we need to just be upfront and tell people things are not going to get easier. Services will be affected, and we'll do the very best we can to manage them in a way that's responsible and that gives the best level of highest, most effective and most efficient level of service we possibly can with the resources that we have available. And it's those resources that are the unknown. We have no ideas what's going to happen really long term on the national economy. The state level, it all depends on what happens this legislative session. And there could be there could be impacts on both a macroeconomic and also on a state level that will affect us, and we just need to be aware of that. And like I said, I think we've done as a city a remarkable job of managing through the challenges we've had over the last 2.5 years, and we have had many challenges. But I don't want people to get the misunderstanding that those are just easy to get through, because that they have not been. And I think the fact that we've settled into sort of a normalcy, although it's not the optimal normalcy, is a real compliment to the way that it's been handled by by those who work with the city, who have done an absolute incredible job of doing more with less. But there are still storm clouds on the horizon. So that was my wonderful weekend. And we'll just have to think about it. And hopefully we'll see when the sales tax numbers come in that we had a decent Christmas. If not, you know, we'll deal with it. We'll manage through it again. Okay? Anything else? On that happy note,
yeah.
Councilmember Richens.
Last Wednesday, Vice Mayor Walters invited me to participate in teaching the citizenship and the community merit badge to about 6 Boy Scout troops in my district. And it was a really great experience to see what our future leaders of this community learning about how to be good citizens. Thanks.
Okay, great. And on a fun note, though, on Saturday morning, I got to go to Comic-Con, the amazing Comic-Con at Mesa Convention Center.
I will not tell the story.
But it was fun. It was a fun day, and some pretty incredible artists, and a lot of very very active and committed fans of comic characters of all shapes and forms. I had people there I'd never heard of as far as the comics. So real education. It was a lot of fun. Did I dress up like?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Mare.
Wonder Mare.
Wonder Mare.
Wonder Bread.
And someone came up and said, I envision Wonder Mare as being much better looking and a lot skinnier. What can I say? Okay, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to remind the council that this will have a study session this Thursday, January 13th. The start time, though, is later than usual, because there is a East Valley breakfast with the governor on Thursday, January 13th. So we'll start our study session at 9:30 a.m. Also, this coming Saturday is Saturday evening, I believe for the first time, in some time will be the Martin Luther King Dinner Banquet, which will be at EVIT. That'll be at 7 p.m. That's in lieu of the, I think, traditional breakfast that has been held on Monday morning. But they will still continue to have the Martin Luther King Parade on Monday, January 17th, which will begin at 11 a.m., and that will be followed by a festival at the Mesa Arts Center from noon to 5 p.m. On January 18th, Tuesday, January 18th, we're having a Building Stronger Neighborhoods kickoff meeting at District 5. This will be at the Falcon Hill Elementary School. And then we'll continue to have our study sessions on the 20th and 24th. Also want to make sure all those who are available, we are going to be having our celebration of service for Vice Mayor Jones. That'll be Wednesday, January 12th. From 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Mesa Convention Center in the Palo Verde Room. So invite those to come out for that.
So it's called the Celebration of Service.
I just renamed it. I don't know if Miranda let me use that, but it says farewell, well, I think reception, but we know that Kyle will not go away.
No, I think
celebrating his service.
Yeah, which is much better than term limit go-away party.
Yeah, that was, I was trying to think of something positive to use.
I think you done did well.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Why don't we call it a parole party?
Parole party. The next item on the agenda is we, as part of our study session, offer to the public the opportunity to speak in a pre-scheduled public opinion appearance. It's a maximum 3 minutes, and we have today one request to speak, and Mr. Craig, and I'm sorry about, is it Stelflug?
Stelflug, yes.
Stelflug, Mr. Craig Stelflug. Mr. Stelflug, if you want to come up there, and sir, you have 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mayor Smith and other council members. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. My name is Craig Stelflug, the PNG are silent. And I'm accompanied tonight by my teenage daughter, Sarah. And I want to speak to you tonight about toxic mold in the city of Mesa and the lack of city regulations to ensure safe habitability of rental properties. I want to bring up an ongoing problem in this great city of Mesa that is an immediate, serious public health threat. Because of this immediate, serious public health threat and lack of city ordinances to oversight the causes of this debacle, my student daughter and I have become homeless and without respite since December 16th, even though our rent is paid up. We had to vacate the comfort and convenience of our personal belongings and our apartment because of this situation. Because the city ordinances are weak and ambiguous, Tierra del Sol Apartment Management has denied any responsibility and has put forth a letter from their attorney, which is included in a packet that I will give to you in a minute. Because there's no code to enforce Tierra del Sol to provide a uniform living space, the management of Tierra del Sol is trying to force me to pay rent on an apartment with documented toxic mold spores, no kitchen ceiling, no sheetrock in the hallway since September of 2010. My medical toxicologist calls this an immediate, serious health threat. And that letter's in there, too. The situation was caused by Tierra del Sol improperly repairing water damage from water leaks. One particular incident that caused this issue left water dripping coming through a hole in my kitchen ceiling for several weeks, about 6 weeks. And once Tierra del Sol finally fixed the leak, they almost immediately sealed the ceiling in my kitchen without drying the several months of water-soaked ceiling and beams and sheetrock. This caused the black mold known as Stachybotrys to proliferate inside and outside the ceiling, distributing toxic mold spores throughout the apartment. Because there's no code for air quality or uniform mold abatement, the management of Tierra del Sol can, with blatant impunity, refuse to repair this problem that has caused great physical harm to me and great physical discomfort to my daughter. And yet they continue to charge rent for this apartment. Because there's no code for air quality or uniform mold abatement, Tierra del Sol can refuse to repair my mold-damaged property. Because there's no code of uniform mold abatement, the management of Tierra del Sol can rent this apartment to any unwitting tenant they desire to without remediating this threat. Because there's no code of uniform mold abatement, the management of Tierra del Sol has failed to properly repair the mold issue and ceiling breach that I share with my neighbor via wall and ceiling spaces. This neighbor, who has a 3-year-old asthmatic child like me, has gone to the city of Mesa, exhausted all her resources, trying to force Tierra del Sol to repair the water damage properly and restore her personal property to usable condition. Because there's no code of uniformity for sheetrock walls or ceiling standards, there's a kitchen ceiling missing, and the lights in the ceiling that go with it are gone. And yet this is acceptable in the sight of city code inspector, because there's no code of uniformity that requires any kind of sheetrock repair. There's also a wall in my hallway without a light and without sheetrock. And again, because there's no code of uniformity, there's still a hole in the upstairs apartment where they repaired the leak that caused my damage still since September. Because there's no code, another neighbor has 3 holes poked with a broom handle by maintenance in his ceiling in their efforts to dry it out that have been there for more than a year. So with your permission, I've prepared packets for you, and I would like my daughter to distribute them to you. And I also have a master package with complete...
If you want to just go ahead and give them to Ms. Spinner, she'll go ahead and...
Okay. I've also...
Thank you so very much, and I wish you luck. And I don't know if we can answer this question right now, but how does our slum and landlord fit in with these kind of situations if something's, you know, allegedly uninhabitable?
Mayor and Council, I don't know the specifics
right.
of this gentleman.
Right, I'm just asking a general question.
We do have the residential inspection program. It only allows entry into the facility if we have the written permission of either the landlord or the tenant. There's obviously also landlord-tenant remedies that would be available, and I can speak to this gentleman if he has an attorney or is looking for someone to advise him on does he have remedies under the landlord-tenant laws.
Great, because we do have a... Yeah. Council, I'm sorry. Yeah, and then Ms. Alonga. And just so everyone knows, usually on public presentations, we can't respond because it's not on the agenda. This one was on the agenda, which is why we're able to have this short conversation. So I just wanted to give everyone a parliamentary and an open meeting type of thing. Ms. Alonga?
Just to confirm with the city attorney said, under the residential rental inspection program that was adopted over a year ago, we have to have written authorization either by the tenant or the landlord to enter into and inspect a property. In this case, it's my understanding there is a lawsuit that's already started.
No, there's not any lawsuit filed.
Oh, okay.
We have not even made a demand other than my written demands to them to fix the mold and remediate the problem.
Right. The apartment in question, though, is no longer being occupied by you, and right. the landlord has not given us
okay.
written authorization to enter into it. And he is correct. We do not have local regulations relative to
right.
mold abatement. There are no OSHA standards. There are no EPA standards on mold. So it is a very difficult health issue relative to exactly what one
and
ought
so a lot
to
of the
do.
Rights you'd have, since we don't have ordinance, would have to come through the landlord-tenant as part of both state law and then what's ever in the contract, which I'm sure is very, very much fair related to. I better not say that. Go ahead.
Okay, I did leave resources on the very last page of other cities that have ordinances and states that have ordinances that can be viewed.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, Ms. Crocker, are there any other requests to speak from any citizens?
Request, Mayor.
All right. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion from Councilmember Summers, second from Vice Mayor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Upstairs.